Good morning, Kansas City. This is the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Thank you so much for joining us, Stephen St. John and Nate Bucati with Jay Gutierrez. I come to you with a damaged voice today, but we're going to get through it. All right. We may have Nate do a little more talking that he said he's up for it. He said he is willing to talk as much as possible.
Not usually, but today I'm up for it.
Yeah, normally...
Usually very quiet.
He's Shy Sheldon, won't come out of his shell. But you guys remember that song?
No.
I want to say it was on Sesame Street. Remember the turtle was Shy Sheldon, come out of your shell. And they just wanted Sheldon to come out of his shell, you know.
Right.
To come out and be with his friends. And
don't be shy.
So, Shy Sheldon, will you come out of your shell?
I'll do it for you today.
Right. That's right. Also, if you want to, speaking of Sesame Street, if you ever want to trip out, one of my favorite shows, and you guys, I don't know, maybe you guys were too young, but one of my favorite shows when I was just a youngster was Electric Company.
Yeah.
Go look at the original intro to Electric Company. Do you remember that Morgan Freeman was on Electric Company?
I do not.
And his intro is very good. He's like jogging in the park in a suit. Like,
love that show.
Right?
Yeah, it's great. That was great.
Yeah, and like the intro is still, because somebody retweeted the other day, it was like an anniversary, and I retweeted the intro. I was like, boy, this is still a banger. It still hits just right. So I can't remember. Shy Sheldon was on one of those shows, but that was never my problem, Jake. I was never Shy Sheldon, but, you know, it was a song for the kids that were shy, like Nate, you know. So that's all. Boy, what did college basketball sneak up on us?
Man.
Oh, this still hits right. It's Electric Company. We're going to turn it on. Brings power. Is that what they said?
Yep.
Are you watching the intro?
Oh yeah.
Wait for
a full head of hair, Morgan
like,
Freeman.
Yeah. Real Marino's in there. Is he like he's running to the bag? Like, what's he doing? I'd always ask my mom.
Full head
going?
Of dark hair.
He's running to do the show. So thank you. Anytime I can hear the theme to Electric Company, it gives me power. To be honest with you, thank you for playing that. Yeah, when did that happen? College basketball, all of a sudden, like, it wasn't here, then everyone's playing. Let's go. Start the season. Like, all right, I'm not ready. I'm not ready. Everyone just chill out. I'm glad we had Jarrett Sutton on for a quick preview just to kind of get our minds right yesterday because, I mean, we talked about this is going to be like this for a lot of teams, but, I mean, watching the Missouri game, watching that team, it made me feel like I have never seen anything in my life. Because I know I just saw the team last year, and like I'm like, and I knew they're like, who are you, and you, and you, and you, and you?
Yeah, I've never seen anything in my life.
Three returning players, nine new faces. They were shorthanded last night, but it's like, okay, it's somewhat refreshing. Like, okay, it's a brand new start, brand new team. Let's go. Got like five freshmen, a bunch of transfers. You got more returning players for Kansas, but still there's plenty of new faces for you to try to wrap your head around. It's not like the old days when we'd know there may be just two or three new players. We got this locked down. I mean, it's going to take me a while to get acclimated to everyone on Mizzou and KU and K-State team and Wichita State. Glad we're, Wichita State's in the Border Patrol fam now. Despite, I'm sure, not wanting to be, not asking for that at all, but you're in, whether you want to be or not. And they said, well, you know what? We want the Border Patrol to talk about us tomorrow, so hold my beer.
Man.
Did you see that game-winning three by Etienne from the logo?
Yeah.
And it was just like, and he had no emotion out of him. He just walked back.
Elbow sleeve, kind of pulled it down, then started walking. Like,
I don't know. Is that good? Everybody? Everyone happy?
There's still a second left.
You know. But still, it was... yeah, I wasn't expecting that shot from quite that spot. But, yeah, watch that as Etienne hit a game-winning three with 1.6 seconds left to beat Jacksonville State. And so that, and that's good for Wichita State, so instead of people bitching, why they lose to Jacksonville State? Like, no, hey, Etienne, SportsCenter, best shot of the night. So good way to start things, Wichita State.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll get back, because for people that don't know, Wichita, we simulcast to Wichita every morning from 8 until 10 o'clock. And so we've brought them in to the family. But last night, good night for Wichita State. At this point, like, with all these new faces and everything, first game, doesn't matter what you win by. Just win,
yep.
You know?
Yep.
Doesn't even matter. I guess, you know, losses don't hurt you, but you want to win. But who cares? Just win. And if you want to do it with a 90-foot three-pointer, go ahead. You know, I'm here for it.
Mm-hmm.
But last night we saw Kansas against Michigan State in the State Farm Champions Classic. I didn't watch all of the fanfare. Did they have that State Farm Jake there? Was that his? He goes all the
same. Oh, yeah, I don't know. I didn't see. If he was, I didn't see.
If not, they need to get him out there more. He's not on. He didn't get enough.
That's the guy that offers the Rogers rate and all that stuff?
Sure. Well, I don't know what the Rogers rate is now.
But $14,560 or something?
Probably offer Rogers a vaccine, maybe. That's instead of a rate.
Well, that was the amount he got fined.
That would be a good commercial. Yeah. Like, you know, State Farm Jake says, "Hey, Aaron, would you like a shot?" Like, oh no, Joe Rogan said no. So I don't know. I mean, that would be.
I'm kind of sad they got rid of the original.
What? Then they, you
right?
know what?
They
it
did
was
the bait
like.
And switch.
It was like
the guy wearing the khakis.
You know, it was like when they switched the Darrens on Bewitched, and it was like when they switched the moms on
right.
Fresh Prince of Bel Air. Like,
yeah, Aunt
you know, just let's address. Don't try to sneak something past.
No.
Right? That's not the same Jake.
That's not the Jake with the khakis.
Come on and tell me what happened. Much like we all went through this, all of a sudden, when a very young and innocent Richie St. John was so confused, like what happened to Steve from Blue's Clues?
Right. Right.
He'd look at me, and he knew something wasn't right.
Steve.
But he'd look at me, like, you know, and he was just still a toddler. Hey, Blue's still there.
That's all you
need to
Steve?
Know. I said, why? You know, sometimes.
20 years later, you'll find out
right.
in a social media post.
And that's why that made me very emotional.
Yeah.
You know? And so, like, Richie, Steve, you know.
I don't know what happened to the original Jake from State Farm.
Grandpa had to go away. Steve from Blue's Clues had to go away. There was some, you know. Issues. It's a great point. I don't know. So I just saw Steve. I didn't know if he was there.
I don't know if he was there or not.
He probably was. You just didn't see him.
Very possible. Very
possible. So, but.
Ochai Agbaji was there. I know that.
Right. 29 points.
Man.
Kansas wins 87-74. So what are your takeaways after watching the first game for Kansas against not a vintage Michigan State team? Don't know if that's a top 25 Michigan State team, but it's still Michigan State, so it's not a rollover to start the season.
Well, my biggest takeaway is Ochai Agbaji and the way he played.
Why?
Well, you could just look at it and say, well, he had 29 points. That's a career high, obviously. That stands out. But
as you said, stats are for losers. Tell us the real reason.
Watching, you can look at the stats, you can watch the game. And watching the game, you saw Ochai Agbaji do things that he has not necessarily done before. Honestly, the thing about Ochai that's been a little disappointing to this point in his career before this season was he's mostly been a catch-and-shoot guy.
Also, when you say you got someone, you got to go Oak Park?
Right.
Right,
you know. Well, and you know, Jarrett Sutton has been telling us about Ochai since he was an under-recruited high school player out of Oak Park.
You can really see why some of the local schools turn their nose up at
I mean,
Ochai,
the thing about him is, like, he just, like, he looks like he was, God designated him to play basketball.
By the way, that's a Georgia laugh track. I wasn't being serious. The point, I can't see why. That's a ha-ha. You
sarcasm.
Know what I mean? Yeah.
Yeah, I get it.
Like, you know.
You're being ironic.
Oh, yeah. Well, I don't think we can offer him a scholarship.
We got room for this guy.
He looks too athletic to me.
He is a smart-ass kind of tone.
I mean, he looks like he was born to play basketball. He's a physical specimen. He can jump out of the gym, all that, but he just hasn't really taken that athleticism and translated it to his offensive game up until this year. And, you know, and Well, I talked with Jared a lot about that. He went and tested the waters in the NBA last offseason, and I think the feedback he got was, it's great that you can shoot, and it's great that you can guard, but you have to at least be a threat to attack the basket with the ball in your hands. And if you can do that, you can turn yourself into a really good pro prospect. And it seems like he's taking that to heart. And now we get to the part, Stephen, where you're talking about a guy who's really after my heart.
Right.
Holly Rowe did a story on him during the game and said when they told him this, he returned to his roots, which is part of the reason that he was an under-recruited basketball player, is that he spent the majority of his youth playing soccer.
Right.
And he wouldn't spend a bunch of time playing soccer in the offseason to work on his footwork and athleticism.
The moral of the story is, kids, if you want to get recruited, don't play soccer.
Right.
Right.
Or go back to soccer when you want to make yourself a real pro prospect.
But if you want, to go to play a professional sport and you want a college education, don't play soccer.
I don't know. He ended up at KU, and now he's got a chance to go play in the NBA. So that's what he gave up.
It's interesting.
Why do you keep playing?
You say that, so let me bring in my favorite sport or sports. I remember when Jared Allen was here with the Chiefs.
Yeah.
And he made some huge strides in the offseason when he started to train as a mixed martial artist. And he talked about how that helped him with leverage. It especially helped him with footwork.
Mm-hmm.
I know a lot of boxers, or I know a lot of professional athletes, and what I'm looking at right now, it stands out. Dame Lillard swears by it, and he's a huge boxing fan anyway, but he trains in the offseason like he's training for a fight. I don't know if you've ever seen Dame Lillard hitting the pads and stuff like
that.
Damn, dude, if you're thinking about when you get done getting involved in the celebrity boxing, you will kick someone's ass.
Yeah.
But it's like what you're talking about. It's the footwork, the balance and different things. So I imagine that's something that he was seeking out and maybe he gained by going back to soccer.
There's a lot of similarities as I'm obviously joking, not telling kids to quit playing soccer. But I playing basketball helped me tremendously and vice versa.
Yes. Yes.
Footwork, balance, everything. 100%.
Understanding spacing, understanding
angles.
Yep. How to get your shoulders past people, positioning, all that stuff.
Yeah. Not to be smart ass, not to be serious. That's a good lesson as to why it's a good thing to have kids play more than one sport and not just be sports specific.
100%. And honestly, your point about combat sports, I think it's great to have kids play some team sports and some individual sports.
You don't play boxing, right?
Right, that's right. You don't play boxing.
That's what Jake told you.
But there are, I think, in every sport, you could gain so much from doing some sort of martial arts, for sure. And the individual discipline that it takes, as opposed to that there's things you gain from playing a team sport, working in a group, all those types of things, but also things you gain from an individual sport where you're the person that has to, it's all on you, and you got to look yourself in the mirror and do those things. So
I like to hear things like that, though, when an athlete tries maybe some unconventional things that maybe help him unlock the next level in his game.
Because it was crazy watching Ochai play because, like I said, the athleticism's there. You could see he's got the springiness, he's got the length, he's got the athleticism, but it just wasn't translating to – he didn't seem that explosive going to the basket up until this year. He was really a catch-and-shoot guy. And that guy's valuable, but that guy is a lot easier to guard than the guy he could pull up and shoot on me, or he could drive right to the basket and throw down a dunk on me or finish around the basket. And he was doing that last night. And I don't know if he'll do that all season, but it's clear that's what he worked on. And if he does that all season, Kansas is going to be really scary.
And don't just take for granted that he made the good decision to come back, because how many players have we seen that have not reached their full potential? And they, well, I'm out, I'm going, and they either get picked at the end of the second round or don't get picked at all. Like, damn, that kid should have came back. Clearly, it was smart to test the waters, but absolutely the right thing for him to come back. And now it'll be fun to see how he can elevate his game and what type of NBA prospect he can become this year.
Well, and to listen to the feedback. Sometimes people tell us feedback we don't want to hear. You need to change this. You need to get better at this.
Trust me. Every day after the show, someone's, hey, you want some feedback? Like, no, I do not. I do not want any of your feedback.
Yeah. But to listen to and make it a priority, it's clear that he did.
And then Jake says, well, I'm your producer. I'm not interested in any of your feedback right now. Thank you.
Jake gives very direct feedback.
Right.
Too.
honest and
meticulous
open.
Notes that he ends up wadding up and throwing into the trash right afterwards because I won't hear it.
Because no one will listen to me.
Right. That's right. But at least he pays attention.
With it.
The effort's there. We appreciate that. So Kansas gets the win last night against Michigan State. And we'll talk more about what we saw in college basketball. And you heard the 87-74 victory by Kansas over Michigan State right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Boy, won't this be a little pee in your Cheerios. Let's listen to Greg Gurley.
Oh, boy.
We want to hear from Bill Self, but, you know. Sometimes you got to take the good with the bad, and you hear Greg Gurley here interviewing Bill Self after the game. Is that right, Jake? Is it? Were you able to
I couldn't
edit so you could just cut out all of Greg's questions or nothing like that? Or just,
no.
All right.
I couldn't. That took too much time.
So, Nate, can we still play it? Because Nate was very resistant to this. He didn't.
Yeah, well, I like Bill Self that much. I'm willing to put up with some girly.
Nate loves Bill Self so much that he's willing to listen to some extra Greg Gurley before Greg makes his triumphant return to the Border Patrol next week.
I'm going to be out that week.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of planning that is involved. Jake pulling strings and pushing buttons to get Greg Gurley here next week, and boy, we just can't wait. So here's Greg Gurley last night with Bill Self after Kansas beat Michigan State 87-74.
Statement win tonight, first game of the season, 87-74 over Michigan State. Everybody had a hand in this win. When Remy and David somewhat struggled in the first half, other guys stepped up, and it was guys that we didn't expect. It was Bobby, and it was Jalen, and it was Zach.
The guys did great, and the bench was terrific. I mean, Zach got 7 points in 4 minutes. J. Cole made a couple of shots. Bobby really, I mean, Joseph really didn't get a chance to do much, but Bobby was great. And then KJ gave us probably as productive a minutes in 4 minutes as anybody. And that play he made to give CB his first basket, I think, was huge. It was a good win. You know, you think about it, we didn't have Jay Will. David didn't have a great game. CB didn't have a great game. And I think Remy had a really poor first half, but he turned on second half. This team could be, I think, pretty hard to deal with if we can get everybody clicking. But it's a good start. Now we got to get better over the next 2 weeks before we go to Orlando. But it's always good to get the first one.
Yeah, and the one guy neither one of us mentioned was the leading scorer, Ochai Agbaji. 29 points, which is a career high. 8 of 8 from the free throw line, 9 of 17 from the field, including 3 of 6 beyond the arc. Played great defense, got some easy buckets out in transition. He was great tonight.
I'm looking right here, and I never knew what this stat meant. Personal fouls and then fouls drawn. And Ochai, I don't know if I can ever remember a game where Ochai drew 7 fouls. He was great tonight. I've already had NBA people and agents text me saying, wow, if he can just build off of that. I mean, that he looks like a different guy. And on a night where nobody was really else was very impressive except for our reserves there for, in limited minutes, he carried us. And I was happy to see it. He was terrific. I'm encouraged. I haven't been really happy with our guys much over the last couple of weeks, and I'm encouraged tonight because I did think we tried to play the right way. So many mistakes that we'll correct, and same thing with Michigan State. This game's not going to mean much in February, obviously, but they'll learn from it. But there's so many things that we can guard better and be more alert and how to execute a little bit better. But to hang 87 on them. On a night where we were pretty stale, pretty good.
You know, Remy Martin, your preseason Big 12 Player of the Year, doesn't even shoot in the first half, and everyone's kind of texting me, like, what's going on? But what I thought was impressive, he didn't even shoot, and he comes out in the second half, and he was really good. He had a couple spark plays to really get us going.
Yeah, Remy, I heard Aaron Rodgers say the other day that He dances to his own beat or whatever. I think Remy could be put into that category also. I got to get used to him doing some things because, boy, when he's got a cleared side or when he can drive a gap, man, he's good at getting all the way to the basket. And, And I actually thought we did a better job. One, I thought had a really nice, solid game. I actually thought we did a better job of driving it. Problem is, they had a 7-footer. We had to try to score over a lot. But good win. Tom's team will get better. Hopefully, we'll get better. And we just need to build off of this.
We knew that the glass was going to be an issue. They did out rebound us 37-30. David only with 2 rebounds, but Christian Brown, who struggled offensively, 8 big rebounds, along with Remy Martin, had 6.
Yeah, Christian Brown may have shot the 2 ugliest balls anybody has ever shot in one half in the first half. He was tight and nervous, and he played better second half because he rebounded the ball and then got a couple of big time baskets. But yeah, he ended up playing a really good second half, but not very good the first half. And he'll be the first to tell you, Juan was solid. Look at Juan's stats: 4 assists, no turnovers, 3 steals, and 6 points. And that's going to be Juan's stat line a lot. But we got to get all our pieces out there. We need David playing to his size and playing to his ability. That wasn't very good by Dave, and he knows that, and he'll be better next time out.
All right, great win. We'll see you on Friday against Tarleton. Travel safe.
Okay, thanks.
Any comments on what Bill Self had to say?
Well, it stood out to me that I think that Bill and Greg maybe should stop just using first names and nicknames for all the players, because we're still getting to know these guys. Start talking about Bobby and KJ and CB and Jay Will and Remy.
CB McGrath, is
well,
that?
That's what I thought at first. That's got to be thing. Christian Brown.
Yes.
Okay. Jay Will, obviously suspended for 3 games because of the arrest. Remy Martin is an easy one to remember.
I'm very familiar with Remy Martin.
I know, right? Delicious.
Different Remy Martin. I know. Plenty about
different Remy.
Right. Speaking of shots, right?
Yeah,
different Remy.
You ever take a shot with Remy Martin, Jake, at all?
That's too classy for me.
Right. That's right.
I got a story about that for you.
Go ahead.
I got a story for you sometime.
Right.
Well, tell me.
This is the radio.
No,
you gotta just touch on it.
Well, I had an ounce of Louis XIII one time.
Wow.
Somebody bought it for me. It
cost you about $1,000, right?
Right, it was. I didn't.
An ounce of it cost $1,000?
Yeah. Several hundred anyway.
Yeah, it's like $300 a shot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's the bottle?
The bottle's worth like
$15,000 or something.
It's worth
crazy.
Several hundred dollars. Who
gave you that?
Ruben, one time. And it was a whole thing. But I don't really drink a lot of cognac, so.
But did it taste, you know?
Well, what they did was, because I was like, look, don't waste your money on me. I don't drink cognac, so I'm not going to be able to appreciate how good this is. And the people at the bar set up a shot of Remy 1, Remy 2, and then the Louis XIII, so you could, like, taste each one in succession.
Right.
And they kind of try to talk you through it.
Succession, now on HBO.
Yeah, which I'm going to start with my wife.
Starting next weekend.
Yeah.
I've already started.
Well, I don't believe either one of you.
I've already started it.
From the beginning.
I just want you to advance to a point where we can do a podcast on it.
It's going to take me a while to get
there. I mean, it's fine. But
bottle of Louis cost you $2,400, set you out.
All right.
And the bottle itself is probably $1,000 worth of that is just the bottle itself. But whatever. I would never buy it for myself, but someone bought me an ounce, so I drank it one time. That's all.
Seemed unnecessary to bring that up, but I'm glad you did.
The story.
I like how you say an ounce, not a shot.
Well, it is. It's just like isn't a shot usually more than just a tiny little ounce?
No.
No, I thought it was.
Depends on how well you tip your bartender.
Well, that's a good point. But a shot glass is usually an ounce.
Oh, okay.
Not all bartenders are created equal. Not all pours, you know what I mean?
Yeah, right.
Ooh.
It didn't seem like a full shot, but I trust Jake more on
right.
that than myself.
You should.
That's considered a drink. You know, okay. 12 ounces of beer, 6 ounces of wine, or 1 ounce of liquor.
Okay.
So when they tell you, you know, you should only have, trying to watch your blood alcohol content. Your body takes an hour to process. One drink is considered an ounce of booze, 6 ounces of wine.
This show has become tremendously informative all of a sudden, and I don't like it. I don't like it.
I know my stuff, guys.
Right.
Well, this guy, let me sit back. Yeah. Sit back and let me tell you about alcohol, everybody.
Well, you notice on this one, I wasn't going to try to push back. Like, no. Right. I know what I'm talking about.
We got stuck on Remy Martin there. It's going to take a while for us to
point
get
is, Bobby and KJ, these are new guys. Like Bobby Pettiford, KJ Adams, all these are new guys on KU's team that, at least for me, I'm still getting to know who they are when they come into the game. And Zach Clements as well. I thought they all played really well, too, off the bench. So KU looks deep this year.
Very deep.
All right, we heard from Bill Self there. We'll take a break. When we come back, we'll hear from Konzo Martin after Mizzou's opening season win over Central Michigan. Back after this on WHP. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Thank you so much for joining us. We talked about Kansas beating Michigan State. Heard from Bill Self. And now let's hear from Konzo Martin, head coach of the Missouri Tigers. And boy, oh boy, a lot of new faces there. Overall, 9 newcomers, 3 players returning. And he had 3 players unavailable last night, including Dejuan Gordon, who had to sit out for 1 game. NCAA, you know, making their presence known. He played in a basketball game, whatever stupid reason, the NCAA. He sat out 1 game as a result of his participation in a non-sanctioned summer league game. That's right.
They got him for
this. Kid was out there playing in a non-sanctioned basketball game. Make him pay. So
what, you're playing intramural? Suspend him. It's not sanctioned.
Sitting intramurals, brother. Whatever. Where's the Hawk at? Where's Dan Hawkins?
God, he popped up somewhere. I gosh darn it, I saw his name somewhere.
He knows it's not intramurals.
And we're a little bummed out that we don't get 3 weeks. Go play intramurals, brother.
Nope.
Go play intramurals.
No.
UC Davis now, it says, I think.
I miss those drops. Anyway, Mizzou, it wasn't
coached
always...
coached the Montreal Alouettes in the Canadian
wow.
League.
It wasn't always pretty, but they got the win. And the least heralded of the transfers was Ronnie DeGray III from UMass. He had 13 points and 12 rebounds off the bench. And so I'll take that. The Mizzou certainly needs rebounding, and hopefully he can provide that throughout the season. But let's listen to Konzo Martin after Mizzou beat Central Michigan to open up the season last night.
Great win for our guys to start the season. I thought the fan energy, I thought the student section was tremendous, in my opinion. And normally I don't really lock in on those things, but I thought they were great. I thought the energy was high level. We even had some students camping out the night before, so that was great. And I thought our guys put on a good performance. Got a little stagnant there in the second half, but I thought we found a way to win the game, especially being shorthanded. But it was a good one. Guys came off the bench, gave us big minutes. They played hard, they competed, so it was good.
Uncle, how crucial was Sean Pickett and Javon having
a steal game as well? Great. I thought Javon set an aggressive tone early, just driving the ball, making plays at the rim. And like I've said to our guys, anybody can beat you, so you have to prepare every game. It's very important. And to play a team with no scouting report, no film, no footage, not even to be able to watch them from a year ago just to get tendencies. It's hard, so you have to adjust through the course of a game and then make the necessary adjustments and plays. But I thought Javon was great. His leadership was great, but it's been that way since June. I thought Kobe struggled from the standpoint of flow, the flow of the game, but I thought he stepped up late. He wasn't passive with those 4 fouls, so that part was good. He wanted to guard big fella down the stretch, and that was key for us.
How much of those struggles had to do with Central Michigan going zone in the second half? Is that part of it?
Oh no, I don't really mind the zone at all. But like anything, we have some guys that are better in zone than others. Kobe's a great flash man. Ronnie's great. Anton is probably one of your better shooters. Dejuan Gordon is one of your better players in the zone because he can shoot it and make plays at the rim. But I thought what happened, we got comfortable with the lead. Then they made plays and it became a ball game. You start thinking about certain things. But I don't mind the zone because there's a tremendous opportunity to score and make plays. In practice, I would say our best perimeter defender since June, just in practice, would be Dejuan Gordon. I would say that. And I would say Javon and probably Amari. So not having a guy who's a defensive stopper and probably one of your better guys driving the ball and making plays and arguably your best offensive rebound at the guard position. So you have to make the adjustments. But, again, no excuse. And I thought our guy stepped up. I thought Sean gave us some key minutes when he was in there. I thought Anton did a good job as a freshman. But, you know, as you play your first college game, and I thought, again, our fan energy was great against talented opponents. They make plays. It's going fast, and I thought it was going really fast for Yaya, but he settled in the second half. We found a way to get the win.
Is that the guy you played with, Ron?
Yes. Because, again, he's the guy we recruited in high school. So we've been knowing Ronnie. Well, Coach Corn's been knowing him for a long time. We've been knowing Ronnie since probably junior year in high school. And you know what he brings to the table from the standpoint of his character, his composure, his work ethic, tremendous offensive rebound. A guy can guard all five positions, competes at a high level. He's not so much consumed with whether I'm starting or coming off the bench. He's just about winning. He embraces the matchups every day with Kobe in practice, and I think that helps him. You need him out there because it's tough for big men to guard him. He's a better three-point shooter than probably what he showed tonight, but he's a tremendous offensive rebounder. I thought that was great. The only issue is just going through it. And we got a glimpse in two scrimmages, so that part was good. But just going through it because when you have fans and it's a different atmosphere, you're playing against an opponent where everything is real now. Then the guy makes shots. And then you see if there's selfish tendencies that take place. And I didn't see that at all because I hadn't seen that since June. So I do think they really enjoy playing with each other. And they're the type of guys, man, just try to win the basketball game. It's not so much who's getting shots. Let's win ball games. And that part is great. But it's really been fun to coach them and be around them.
That was Kanto Martin yesterday after Mizzou gets a season-opening win against Central Michigan. And I mentioned they were a little bit shorthanded. And again, DeJuan Gordon had to sit out one game because he participated in a non-sanctioned summer league game. That'll teach him to play basketball. He should
only
be available.
When it's sanctioned.
Right. He should be. Is this show sanctioned?
Non-sanctioned by everybody. We don't want any sanctions.
He's expected to be available for Mizzou's game next Monday against the Kansas City Ruse.
Ooh, boy.
And also, they were down Trevon Brazil and Caleb Brown, a couple of freshmen. Caleb Brown, Kobe Brown's little brother. But both did not participate because of illness or undisclosed medical situation that, at least according to reports, not related to COVID. So we'll see if they can get back anytime soon.
Real quick, I just would love to give a shout out to Jack Webb, true freshman for Central Michigan from Shawnee Mission South High School. I've heard he's the greatest high school basketball player to come out of Shawnee Mission South, way better than Greg Gurley.
Wow.
That's what I was told. But anyways, he's, in all seriousness, Jack Webb, true freshman, family friend of ours. He used to, when my son was a little toddler, he would babysit my son at our nephew's games because Jack's dad, Christian, coached both my nephews in basketball. Great family, the Webb family. Kids busted his butt and got a Division I scholarship to go to Central Michigan. And then the coach trusted him enough to play in 15 games. Jarrett Sutton talked really glowingly of him during the broadcast last night, which was awesome. So just really happy for the Webb family. That was cool to see him get to play. And the family all got to go to Columbia and watch him play last night.
And shout out to our friend Kim English for getting his first win as head coach.
How cool is that?
And George Mason over Stony Brook. If you check out my Twitter account, at SSJWHB, you can see a fun video of the team dousing with water as he walked into the locker room after getting his first win as a head coach.
You could see how much the players like him.
Right.
Right. They were really happy for him. That was cool.
So congratulations also to our good friend Kim English. We will take a break back after this on WHB. You know, sometimes I take it as a compliment when there's more than one person that sees something on TV and then they send it to me because it made them think of me. I said, oh, that's nice. Someone's thinking of me. But then I think, is this a compliment? Is this good that someone thinks of me when they see things like this? I'll let you judge. So apparently there was more than one Border Patrol listener that was taking in some action, some Ohio football. Do you know how I know that some Border Patrol listeners were checking out some Ohio football?
How's that?
Because I had several contact me via Twitter or email about a player's name, which, you know, you laugh at a player's name, right? Sometimes you laugh. So, oh, that's funny. But then to go the extra mile, like, oh, as soon as they see this, not only do they laugh, Steven would like this. Let me send this to him. And so do you take this as a compliment or should I be worried? And I'll just go with Marty. Marty listens to the show and always has time to send us a nice tweet,
Marty.
A funny tweet or whatever. But he sent this to all of us, alerting me, you, and Jake that, and I apologize, you know, don't shoot the messenger, I'm just showing you, alerting us that there's a talented offensive lineman for Ohio by the name of Parker Titsworth. And so I just, I don't know if you...
Hey, and guess what jersey number he wears?
Right, so.
Teat.
And he's number 69.
Yeah.
Teat. So
yeah,
can we all agree that this is our player? This is our
favorite
guy.
Favorite player in college football.
I mean,
football.
It's our guy. And look at his picture.
Teat.
He's very happy.
He's very happy.
Pleased. I mean, yeah, you know. Jake, how do you take that? You were on that tweet. Is that something you want to know? Yeah.
Yeah, honored.
Yeah, thanks for the heads up.
Honored and flattered.
Teat, it's
6'1", 295, is he?
It's a big boy.
Teat, it's...
I don't know what to tell you. Wow. I like him. Big lineman.
Reach out to the SID.
Please do, won't you? We'll be back after this on WHB. Thanks for watching us on 38 The Spot. We're going to talk to Gary Lezak and get your forecast. We've got Nick Leckie, who'll be on the show at 8:05, talking football. Mike DePasquale at 8:45, our college football insider, Gary Barnett at 9:05. All that and more coming up right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB.